bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbill. And now, today's word.
Earlier in the year, I did a two-part message on the call to leadership. And today, I am working within that idea a little bit and working with it a little bit more. So my message, I'm doing a two-part message this week and next week, titled Gifts and Calling. Gifts and Calling. And this is part one of Gifts and Calling. Gifts and calling lie at the heart of every leadership vocation. For us to exercise leadership in any area of life, we must know our gifts and our calling. And throughout the Bible, we see a pattern of people being called to step into leadership roles. They are not all called the same way. However, there is a point in the lives of people when they sense that a demand is being placed on them to step into leadership. And that point is the point where they become aware that their lives must be lived for a higher purpose, to live for something bigger than just their own personal lives. We call it a calling. And a calling can be a calling to the ministry, but each one of us has a calling one way or the other. And it's important for us to know when that moment comes when God demands you to step forward into your leadership role. I'm going to start with two passages of scripture, and that is Romans chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, and then 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. Romans 12, 6 to 7, 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11. So I'll read the passage from Romans. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. In prophecy, prophesy. In ministry, minister. In teaching, teach. Then 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, although this passage is directly speaking about our spiritual gifts and how to use them, the principle there applies to our natural gifts as well. So it's not just about how to use our spiritual gifts, but also how to use our natural gifts. And a few thoughts I want to bring to your notice. The first is that we learn from this passage, especially the Romans passage, that our gifts are not the same. Our gifts are not the same. Having different gifts, or gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us. Our gifts differ. No two gifts are exactly the same, because every gift is personalized. You can have two people with a teaching gift, but they would manifest that gift differently. You can have two people with a gift to be artists or draw, but they would draw differently. You can have two people with a gift for music, but they will sing differently. So although the gifts may be generally the same, when it is manifested in an individual, it's never the same. There's no one on this planet who has the gifts you have, because every gift is personalized to the individual. So our gifts are not the same. Secondly, our gifts manifest God's ability in us. The fact that we have any gift is an indication that God's grace is at work in us. The fact that there is an ability you have to do something is a sign that God's grace is at work in you. Our gifts manifest God's ability in us. Thirdly, our gifts require good stewardship. First Peter says, as each one of us has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward is one who takes care of something that belongs to another, or something that has been entrusted into his care. So whatever God gives to us, we are stewards of it. We have to take hold of it, and we have to properly take care to use it. We have to be good stewards of the grace of God that has been given to us. The quality of our stewardship will shape the quality of our gift. In other words, if God gives me a gift and gives you a gift, and you use your gift well or become a good steward of your gift, your gift will function well for you. If I don't use my gift well and I'm not a good steward of my gift will not function well for me. So it's not just a matter of receiving a gift from God, it is the stewardship that we give to the gift that will determine the quality of the gift and how far it goes. And the fourth point I want to make is that our gifts should be our area of operation. And this is so important. Our gifts should be the area of our operation. Remember, the passage says, if prophecy, let us prophesy. Or ministry, let us minister. He who teaches in teaching. So your gift is the basis of what you do. If the gift is a gift of teaching, you don't go and sing. If the gift is a gift of prophecy, you don't go and teach, because you have to operate in the strength of your gifting. That is what is going to set you out. There are over 7 billion people on this earth. You cannot stand out by copying. You can only stand out by being unique. So if God gives you a gift, you operate in that gift. In prophecy, let us prophesy. In ministry, let us minister. In teaching, let us teach. So you operate according to your gift. Remember, although the context is spiritual gifts, the principle applies to all other gifts. Even if I have the gift of art, I have to art. I have to use it. If I cannot say, well, God has gifted me as an artist, but I really like to be an engineer. I will be an engineer, but I will always be a second-class, mediocre engineer who would never stand out for anybody to follow. You have to operate in the area of your gifting. It's so critical to leadership development in life. So what constitutes our gift? What is it? When we say something is a gift, what do we mean? Remember that leadership is about competence. People follow those whom they believe know what they are doing. And when somebody shows competence, we submit our views to that person. We willingly follow others when they show competence. If somebody knows a lot about football and they start talking about football, we keep quiet. Somebody knows more law than us and they start talking about law, we keep quiet. Somebody knows more about medicine, they start talking about medicine, we keep quiet. Because once somebody shows competence in an area, others follow them. That's why it's so important that in life you become competent. But you cannot be competent in a vacuum. You have to be competent in the area of your gifting. Because the area of your gifting gives you an advantage before the race starts. It is God's investment in you before you even start living. God gives you an advantage. So what constitutes our gifting? Four areas that will help us to really work to know what our gifting is. First is talent. The first thing that shows our area of gifting is talents. Talent is what we can do naturally. It's a thing that we're able to do without much effort. And talent is important. Talent, because talent has to do with the way your brain is wired. Is the way you process your thoughts. Is the way you are you. So talent is not just what you do. It's the way you think. It is our disposition to do something easily. It could be the ability to tell a story easily. To make things up easily. You know, when children are growing, there are those who make things up easily. We may call them liars, but they are too young to be lying. A three-year-old who says, "My father has a big elephant in his room, and yesterday he brought a big train, and the train is in his bedroom." Now, he's not really lying, because he's too young to have a motive for lying. What he's doing is he has a fertile imagination. Are you getting it? He's able to think about things which are not there and see them to be there. They are able to create. It is the power of imagination at work. Obviously, you have to teach the person morality later in life. Otherwise, they would use that power of imagination to do very bad things. But if you guide them well, they would become extremely imaginative and creative. But it comes so naturally. Other children can do that. They only talk about what is there. My father has a small table. So it is the ability to do things easily. It comes with the ability to make things with your hands, think through ideas, to sell things, to fix problems, or to speak convincingly, or some other predisposition. It's the way you are wired. You don't learn to do it. It comes naturally to you. Each one of us has a talent. Talent is great, but talent is not everything. It is where you start your leadership development process from. But it's not where you end. You don't end with talent. You start with it because you need other things beyond talent. You need passion. Passion is what you really love doing. Passion is what is called fire in the belly. It is what you feel very strongly about. Without passion, talent will die. Without passion, talent will be dormant. So passion is what is going to drive you. Passion is like the engine in a car. The car may have a nice body, that's a talent. Very nice. It may be a nice Mercedes-Benz, the latest, or a Rolls-Royce, or Bentley, or some, you know, really exotic car. Nice color, nice body. But if it doesn't move, it's of no value. So something must move it. The engine, there has to be a power that drives it. That power that drives this nice car is what I call passion. There are people with a nice talent, but no engine. So they sit, they become display for other people to watch. They never move anywhere. They never get anything done. Because in life, you're going to have valleys. You're going to have mountains. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to have difficulties. What is going to make you move against those difficulties is not your talent. It's your passion. It's the engine, the four-wheel drive engine that goes through rugged terrain and moves your talent to where it has to go. So you must have talent. It's important, but you must have fire in your belly, engine in your system. You must have passion. There are people who have talent but have no passion. It creates dissatisfaction. They don't love what they are doing, although they are talented with it, but they don't like it. So they are always dissatisfied. Then there are those who know they have their talent and really have the engine to drive it, passion. They get satisfaction. On the other hand, there are those who know, who don't know what to do, but love doing it. In other words, they have no talent, but they have passion. So it's like somebody who has no musical talent, but has a passion for music. He sings, and he's always out of tune, but he's passionate. Now, if you are like that, you will be very, very frustrated in life. And because there are people who are always passionate about something. You know, when we were children, there were people who are passionate about football. They are very passionate. They are the first on the football field. They are the ones who are buying new jerseys, and they are very excited, but they don't know how to play. And there are people who are passionate about medicine who are not scientific. Passionate about engineering. They are not methodical in their minds. They are very artistic. Now, how come sometimes people are passionate about something which they can't do? I think next week I'll address it a little further in that area. But let me give you this. Most times it's because maybe they are in an environment where everybody is doing something. If you are born in an environment of lawyers, you may think you must be a lawyer when your wiring is not lawyerly at all. So here you are quoting ipso facto and all these Latin words, but you are not a lawyer. You lose all your cases in the court. You have passion for something, but no talent for it. So good to have talent, good to have passion. Number three, that determines what your gifting is your experiences, what you've done in life, or what life has done to you. Experience is when talent and passion meets reality. It's when you apply your talent and passion in real life situations. Experience is a great teacher. Experience helps you to perfect yourself. You want to know what your gift is? Look at your talent, look at your passion, look at your experience. And number four is your training. Your training is what you've learned to do. This is what you go to school for. Training can be both formal and informal. Sometimes your formal training may be in line with your talent and passion. But most times, your formal training may not be directly related to your talent and your passion. Most times, I would say probably about 80% of the time, the formal training we have may not be in direction with our passion. So how do you handle it? When you've gone to school to learn something, but you have another passion. Maybe you want to be a musician, but you're going to learn engineering. Does it mean that going to school to learn engineering is a waste of time? No, it's not a waste of time. You see, it's like what happens when you build a building in a waterway. So the water is supposed to flow in a certain direction, but there is a building there. So that where your water has to flow, that's your talent. This is supposed to flow this way, but your education is sitting in the middle of it. So it seems like your education is obstructing what you're supposed to do. But it doesn't. Because when there is a rainfall, the water will find a way around the building and create a new waterway. So sometimes, immediately, you may not see the benefit of your training to your talent, but over time, you will find a way to engineer your engineering into your music. Are you following me? So you don't necessarily have to go to school to learn in line with your passion and your talent. You may not see the immediate connection, but over time, there will be a convergence because something in you is going to rediscover that path. And when it discovers it, it will even be richer because now you have a different training mixing up with a natural talent. You're going to create something far more profound and greater. So it doesn't necessarily mean that everything you learn in school has to be in line with your talent. But everything you learn will find a way into your talent if you have passion. You may be an artist, you may be a musician, you may be a lawyer, you may be a doctor. By training, your talent may be in a different direction. Over time, there will be a meeting point. So don't discard your training. And don't throw away your degree. You may not use your degree to earn money, but the degree will fuel your talent to create a new chemical composition that is unique to you. That is why in life, some of the most successful people have done things in life which were opposite what they went to school for. But if you interview all of them, they found a way to use what they went to school for in line with the talent that they have discovered. So he may have studied history, but he's now into banking. He studied philosophy, but he's now an engineer. And you say, how can he add philosophy to engineering? A philosophical engineer is a more profound engineer. All right. So don't discard your training. Don't throw it away. It's valuable. So training, experiences, passion, talent. Mix the four together, you will know what your gift is. Our gifts are God's investment into our lives. Our calling is our investment into people's lives. So what's the difference between a gift and a calling? Because I'm going to go into what a calling is. A gift is what God has given to you. A calling is what you are giving to the world. So when it comes to gifting, you receive a gift. When it comes to calling, you are the gift. You are now a blessing to people. It is your calling that makes you a blessing. You may be gifted, but if you don't have a sense of calling, your gift has no benefit to other people. It is that sense that my life must now be lived for a certain purpose that makes your gift important. There are a lot of people with a gifting, no sense of calling. And there are people with that sense of calling, no gift. But when the two work together, you receive a gift from God and you become a gift. God blesses you with something, and now you seek to bless the world by yourself. Then you become a calling. So let's move to calling. Our calling. Generally, there are three ways I would want to us to look at calling. There is what I call the general calling. The general calling for the Christian is a call for you to come to Jesus, to be born again. God calls on all of us to be born again. It's what I call the general calling. It's a calling to all humanity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's our general calling. Second is our Christian calling. Our Christian calling is the call to be like Christ. This is the call to all Christians to live their Christian life. Now, when I talk about calling, I am not referring to general calling, the call to come to Jesus, to be born again. There is a calling for that, but that's not what I'm addressing. I'm not addressing the Christian calling, the calling to be like Christ. There is a calling like that, but that's not what I'm addressing. I'm addressing a third kind of calling, and that is vocational calling, the calling to work for Christ. The calling to work for Christ. Now, this is a calling to all Christians. It is a calling to manifest God's kingdom in our lives. Now, under vocational calling, there are two kinds, and I don't like using the differentiation, but I would still use it. There is what we call sacred calling. Sacred calling. It is when God calls people into ministry as pastors, as teachers, evangelists, missionaries, and so on. That is a sacred calling. And then there is what is called secular calling. It is calling to all other areas of life, as a lawyer, as a carpenter, as a singer, and so on and so forth. The reason I don't like doing the differentiation is because I believe that all calling is sacred. Whether you're called to be a lawyer or you're called to be a pastor, all of you are doing God's work, but in different fields.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbill, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbill. Email otterbill@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.